Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
Good morning, everyone. The war on terror, it seems as though it's always been with us. But in a sense, it's framed by two events. And if there's an audio frame for the war on terror, you might just say it begins with this sound on September 14th, 2001.
I can hear you! I can hear you! The rest of the world hears you! And the people...
President George W. Bush, in that moment on top of the rubble pile at the World Trade Center, just days, hours really after the attacks that brought down those buildings and attacked the Pentagon and resulted in the crash of the airplane, of course, in Pennsylvania. As part of our coverage, we're looking at the war on terror. Does it have an end? Dick Cheney, the man who arguably started the war on terror, doesn't think so. Here he is speaking on CNBC just a few days ago.
I think we're making progress. I can't say definitively that we've won. I think it's important that we not let our guard down. I think there's still folks out there who wish us harm. And I'm still worried that the biggest threat we face is a terrorist organization equipped with a weapon of mass destruction, a nuke or a biological agent of some kind that they'd try to unleash on one of our cities.
Former Vice President Richard Cheney speaking there. So a war on terror, open-ended vigilance is justifiable, but open-ended combat, is that justifiable? And does a war on terror have an end? Peter Brooks joins us, Senior Fellow for National Security Affairs at the Heritage Foundation, was also Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asian and Pacific Affairs under President George W. Bush. Peter Brooks, good morning.
Good morning.
Does a war on terror have an end?
I guess it depends how you define the war on terror and how you define, I guess, maybe victory in that case. I mean, I think the vice president had it right. I think we do face a significant number of threats. In fact, in the New York Post this morning, I have a column on this talking about Al-Qaeda 10 years after 9/11. And although we've made great progress, John, against Al-Qaeda core, the one in Pakistan, Osama bin Laden, we got their new number two just recently. A couple of other senior people were arrested. We see Al-Qaeda more decentralized today and in some cases potentially equally as dangerous. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about groups like Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which has been responsible for a couple of plots against the United States, such as Fort Hood and the Detroit underwear bomber. I'm talking about groups like Al-Shabaab, which is in Somalia, there's possibilities of it's having ties into the United States. Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, which is in North Africa. Al-Qaeda in Iraq. We saw them have this incredible attack a few weeks ago where they had near simultaneous bombings and armed attacks in nearly 20 cities.
Targeting Iraqis, though, not targeting Americans.
We still have the Taliban out there in Afghanistan, Lashkar-e-Taiba. There was a big bomb explosion this morning in India. So there's a lot going on.
Let me interrupt your list there for just a moment. That's Peter Brooks, Senior Fellow for National Security Affairs at the Heritage Foundation, and bring in Katrina Vandenhuvel, who's The Nation Magazine's editor and publisher. Katrina, good morning to you.
Thank you, John.
Does the war on terror have an end, in your view?
Well, first of all, I don't think this we should call it a war. It is a struggle, a fight, a conflict against terror. A war on terrorism isn't accurate because it implies that there's an endpoint of either victory or defeat against an ideology. And I think what we need to remember on this tragic anniversary, John, is to draw the right lessons. And one important lesson is how largely irrelevant, counterproductive our large-scale military efforts have been to the goal of getting justice or to keeping the United States safe. I believe that it would have been very important for this country to avoid the terrible costs in many ways we paid, both in terms of our liberties, in terms of the actual costs which we're living with today, to consider the struggle against terrorism a policing action, one that involves intelligence.
Well, let's explore the language there. I want to get a response from Peter Brooks, and we'll keep you guys around here for a few minutes. But How do you end a war on terror? How does any politician stand up and say, you know what, we did it for a while, now we're done?
But we don't do it as a large scale. Think of how the war metaphor allowed the forces in this country to use it as a pretext to wage an illegal war in Iraq, to take thousands of forces into Afghanistan and Iraq. And instead, you could have had a more measured response, which we've seen around the world in other countries which have dealt with terrorism for decades. Policing, domestic security, intelligence, a reliance on international institutions. Of course, security is important, but I would argue we have made our country less secure. We have fomented a legacy of anger and grievance against the United States, and the democracy we see now in the Arab world has nothing to do with going into Iraq, which was largely opposed by most Arabs. And we are now seeing forces in the Arab world, which this country should align with, not repressive military intelligence apparatuses in those countries.
All right. That's Katrina VandenHeuvel, Nation Magazine's editor and publisher. And The Nation is doing a special 9/11 event here in New York at 7 p.m. on September 8th at the New School in New York City, called the Nation Magazine on 9/11 at 10, How Has the U.S. Changed? Peter Brooks, I suspect you have a response to the idea that all the war has done is create turbulence for America around the world.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I disagree with a lot of what Katrina has said, but the fact of the matter is that we were in uncharted territory. I mean, I was on the taxiway at Dulles on the morning of 9/11 and returned to a burning Pentagon. I mean, this was unprecedented. And like I said, you know, the policymakers at the time in their defense, were trying to grapple with a very, very difficult and new problem. I mean, this was the largest terror attack that the world had ever seen before, and they took steps. And I think you may disagree, and, you know, hindsight is 20/20. You may disagree with that, but I think they took steps that they thought were increasing the security of the United States. And I think that's generally been borne out. We've had nearly 40 terror attacks, plots against the United States since 9/11.
But is it possible that we could have taken all of those steps, but not so overplayed it in terms of, not, I don't mean overplayed it, to not have played it with such prominence, I think is what Katrina is saying there.
But of course, we're looking back, and like I said, hindsight is 20/20. If you were in the midst of this at that time and you had to make decisions regarding our security, what would you have done? I mean, now, where we're standing 10 years later, it's easy to say, oh, I would have done it differently. But the fact of the matter is, those people had to make decisions to improve and to ensure our security.
All right. Peter Brooks is Senior Fellow for National Security Affairs. If what you said in the last segment is true, Katrina, that this is not a war, it's a police action, essentially, your proposition is that the U.S. should have done just more of the same after 9/11, not have charted a course that would have done something fundamentally different. Do you think that's possible?
I think we have, within our measures, the policing, the intelligence possibilities. We could have used those and heightened those, used those constructively. There may have been targeted military actions, but to have these massive land wars and to define the struggle against terrorism as a war encouraged great fear, encouraged aggressive, lawless measures, always a problem in this country, that tenuous balance between liberty and security,
and
the costs of war, if I might add. I mean, we sit here today with one of the reasons we have this fiscal deficit debt position is because for the first time in U.S. history, the Bush administration took this country to war and did not cut taxes for the wealthiest.
I'm right,
just
and
saying
that's
we
a policy
can be secure
that
without these occupations, which I believe have increased insecurity, not helped our security.
No, understood. But can you respond to Peter Brooks' notion of this is hindsight? I mean, I can't imagine a president saying, all right, after these attacks, we're going to ramp up all the police stuff we've been doing already, America.
Well, I will say that there are other countries in this world which have faced terrorism over these last decades, and it was a terrible, terrible blow, and we must remember the lives lost on 9/11. But if we're going to emerge from this, John, in a stronger way, a truly secure way, we need to learn the lessons from 9/11. And one of those important lessons is how largely irrelevant, counterproductive, these large-scale military efforts equal war have been to the goal of getting justice or keeping us safe. There are other ways to fight terrorism. terrorism, which is a hateful, hateful ideology.
Right.
It is not a land war like fighting the Nazis, which becomes the analogy. And I think it is wrong to say that those in Washington didn't have other models. They didn't want those other models, and we can have a longer argument about how this 9/11 tragedy was used as a pretext to put into place policies which may have been on the books already, lawlessness, et cetera.
Katrina VandenHeuvel, The Nation magazine's editor and publisher, speaking from New York. From Washington, D.C., Peter Brooks is also with us, senior fellow for national security affairs at the Heritage Foundation. If, as Katrina suggests, that the war on terror, as was envisioned by the Bush administration, doesn't really have an end, is that a policy failure to have a war that can never end, Peter Brooks?
No, I don't think this is necessarily. I mean, when you talk about the global war on terror, I mean, that was a phrase that was used, like I said, early on, and like once again, we're looking back at things. But the fact is it's a struggle that we're certainly dealing with, and many people even say that terrorism is a tactic. I mean, we're really focusing on groups like Al Qaeda and the Taliban that were responsible for 9/11.
All right, but is that a concession?
Terrorism as a tactic, right, or a tool used by violent extremists.
Understood. But are you conceding by saying we're focused on the Taliban and Al Qaeda, to Katrina's point, that the war in Iraq and Afghanistan are failures?
Well,
mistakes?
Afghanistan, how could you have avoided that going into Afghanistan after 9/11? I mean, that's where Osama bin Laden was. That's where the Taliban was giving him safe haven. The President Bush said, hey, Taliban, give up Osama bin Laden and we won't come in, and they refused. So we had to go in there. So, I mean, I don't think that is one of those sort of things. You can have arguments over other sort of terror groups, but Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, I think, are still directing their efforts towards the United States. And like I said, I read about this a little bit in the New York Post this morning. People can make their own judgments. But the fact of the matter is that this still is a threat to the United States. And I think once you discredit that ideology, and you have to use both a combination of hard power, which is military power, and soft power, which includes a whole host of other tools to try to discredit this sort of violent ideology and bring it to an end. Now, are we going to end terrorism terrorism has been around for centuries? Probably not. But I think we will increase our security if we are able to take out those groups or eliminate those groups or discredit those groups or put those groups away,
right,
that are focusing on the United States.
Okay, a minute for each of you, Peter and Katrina. Both of you respond to this question. Did you fear an attack on buildings from planes before 9/11? And do you today fear a biological attack as envisioned by Vice President Cheney? Peter Brooks, you first, and then Katrina.
I think we have to be worried about this. Al Qaeda has said they will, if they get their hands on a weapon of mass destruction, that they will use it. I think we have to be very secure. I think complacency is a very, very big mistake.
How about you?
John, I would just say that the Bush administration did have forewarnings from intelligence agencies around the world of the possibility of planes flying into buildings. So this was not unimaginable. There have been terrorist incidents around the world over these last decades, and I think, again, one cannot capture or kill your way to victory against terrorism. You have to render these terrorist groups isolated and irrelevant. And your point about weapons of mass destruction, I do think the whole framework of disarmament and nonproliferation has to be pursued aggressively. And in terms of, hijacking, well, I was hijacked in 1978. So, yeah, I have thoughts about hijacking.
So you feared it then. And do you fear a biological attack now, Katrina?
Release of Sirhan and Rudolf Hess. Do I fear it now? I think everyone today, to be honest, John, today, we have seen a redefining of fear in this country and a redefining of security.
Do
I think
you
millions
fear it?
More of Americans are worried about their lives and their jobs and human security. Do I fear it? I think any sane person in this world has to have some level of caution. But does that fear lead one to put a country on a war footing,
You would say no. I think you would say no. Katrina VandenHeuvel, The Nation magazine's editor and publisher, they're having an event on September 8th at 7 p.m. at the New School here in New York City on How Are We Changed? Peter Brooks, are you afraid of a terrorist attack today in the 15 seconds we have?
Absolutely. I'm still worried about it.
All right. Peter Brooks, Senior Fellow for National Security Affairs at the Heritage Foundation, also Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asian and Pacific Affairs under President George W. Bush. War on Terror has no end or has an end? Give us your argument. Go to thetakeaway.org or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.